Galatians chapter number 4, I'll begin reading at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." We might receive the adoption of sons. "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." I want to look at these verses and maybe some others and try to follow what I feel like the Lord has placed on our heart this morning. Back in verse number 6, he says, "And because ye are sons, and because ye are sons." And that's what I want to preach on just for a little while this morning. Because ye are sons. Because ye are sons. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, as Paul mentions this, and of course, I always make this statement because I want all of God's people to understand the meaning behind what the apostle is saying when he mentions here, "And because ye are sons," he's talking specifically about the sons of God, adopted. That doesn't exclude saved women. You are the daughters of God. That is just taken naturally in this context when he says, "And because ye are sons," or daughters, children of God. The children of God, but here specifically sons. In the Hebrew, they often only mention the son, not the daughter. But here, again, I want you to understand that he's not excluding saved women. This is just the statement that he makes when he said what he did here. He's speaking to us as God's children. "And because ye are sons," because ye are sons, "God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Have you ever thought about that? I mean, because ye are sons, because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son. That's the promise of the Spirit. Many people that believe today that you can be saved, a part of the children of God, and yet not have the Holy Spirit. That is false teaching from the Word of God. If you are a son or a daughter, you have the Spirit of his Son in your heart. Amen. We are promised the promise of the Holy Spirit abiding within us, always abiding. He is our comforter. Amen.
He is our guide. He is the one that brings all things to our minds. He is the one that is crying, Abba, Father, from us. Amen. That's what he does. He is praying in intercession out of our heart unto the Father according to the will of God. Even when you're not aware of it, he is in your heart and he is crying, Abba, Father. That relationship that connects us with the Heavenly Father comes through the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. The Spirit of God's Son. That's what he's known as. The Spirit of his Son. The Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Jesus. Amen. The Spirit of God, or the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. He is speaking of him, the Spirit of his Son. Because your sons, God sent. God has sent because you're sons. That's the main reason that he sent him to you, because you're a son. You're a son or a daughter of God. Amen. You are an heir. He gave the illustration at the beginning of this chapter when he said, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. He's speaking about those that were maybe in a castle, those that were under a king, a son, an heir to the throne. Though he is an heir, as long as he's a child, it differeth not from a servant. Why? He's untrained. He doesn't know. He doesn't realize everything that he is, all that he is over, all that he is heir to, all that shall be at his disposal. He does not. So he is like a servant. He is taught and is in the house just like a servant. But he's an heir. And he's an heir, and he's Lord over all. He doesn't even realize it, but he's Lord over all. But because he is a child, he's tutored, he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Now, that's speaking about you and I as his creation. Yet we are in bondage under sin, under the fall. But now God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. Why? Because we are sons. We are sons. We are heirs, amen, heirs to be Lord over all. Though Christ is Lord, he is Lord over all, you and I shall reign with him. We know that, right? We know he said that if we suffer with Christ, we shall also reign with him. Amen. Reign with him. Why? Because we are sons. Because we are sons. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son. The Spirit of God. Think about that. The third part of the Godhead living in us because we are sons. Crying, Abba, Father. Praying unto the Father above, according to the will of God, guiding us. Listen, it's important because we are sons that we learn to listen to the Spirit of his Son. Amen? We find out more about God's Son. We learn through the Spirit of his Son. And the Spirit of his Son would guide us in the same way of the Son to do always those things that please the Father. Am I right? Jesus did always those things that pleased the Father. Why? Because He's the Son. He is the only begotten Son of God. Don't ever forget that. Amen. He's different from us. But you and I are adopted. We are now made sons and daughters of God. I am not the Son of God. I am a Son of God. He is the Son of God. He is God the Son. And we are not God the Son. We are sons of God. Amen. And He is God the Son. Amen. He is Trinity. Amen. A part of that divine, that divinity. But you and I have His Spirit within us. We have a now divine nature in the new birth. Are you listening to me? We still have this old flesh. It wants to sin. It is corrupt. But because you're sons, we don't obey it, do we? We should not obey it in the lust thereof. And wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. If a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now he speaks to these Galatians, and I've been preaching along this line about their desire to want to be in bondage again. At the end of verse number 9, he said, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage. Now look what he said. You have to read it all, verse 8 and 9. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, you didn't know Him. He did service unto them which by nature are no gods. These Galatians, they served many other idols. They wasn't a true God. They had no life in them. Eyes they had, but they saw not. Ears they had, but they could not hear. Mouths they had, but could not speak. Hands that they had, but they could not give. And he said, you served them when you didn't know God. But now, after that ye have known God, or the bigger thing, or rather, are known of Him. Now that God knows you. So these people that he's speaking to are sons of God. He said it at the beginning of the chapter. Now are ye the sons of God. Because you're sons, there's a way that God wants you to identify yourself and a way that you should live. And now that you know God, but rather greater than that, are known of God. You are known of God. Amen. You're the sons of God. You're known of God. How, he said, he asked this question, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? To be in bondage the way you were when you didn't know God. Why would you desire to be in bondage? Why, being a son of God, would you desire to live like someone that's not a son? Why, being a son of God, would you want to live like someone that does not have the Spirit of His Son living in your heart? You see, those things show the identity of the child of God. If I say that I am a son, and I am, then I am saying, I know God, and greater than that, I am known of God. I am a son of God. I have the Spirit of His Son in my heart, crying, Abba, Father. That makes me different, doesn't it? That makes you different. Different than what you ever have been. Different from what you were before. Before God saved you. Before, when you did not know God. See, now we have no excuse. because we did not know God. That's why we were in bondage. But now we know Him, or rather are known of Him. Now we know a God that has eyes and does see, ears and does hear, a mouth and does speak, and His Spirit is in your heart crying according to God's will. And why would we desire to live in a way like we do not know that? You see, when we get in bondage to the things of the world, we're living like we don't know God. You know better. As a child of God, you surely have to know better. Amen. I'm not talking about personal growth. I know that the people have to grow in some things. Some things they may not understand completely. Some things they may not see clearly. They're looking through a glass darkly at some time or another. We're all looking through a glass darkly continually until we can see a little better that stage that we're in, and so we can see it and grow in it and grow in His grace, and we can try the Spirit to see whether it be of God. We can listen to the Spirit of His Son that's crying in our heart, crying, Abba Father, crying out to the Father above, crying out in such a relationship of closeness when He said, Abba, that you and I don't fully appreciate unless we're really drawn up close, like John the Revelator was, laying on His breast. Then we understand what He's crying, Abba. Are you listening to me? But why would we desire again to be in bondage? Why would we observe days and months and times and years? Now, he's not necessarily saying that it's wrong. We should observe the Lord's day, don't you think? The Lord tells us to forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together as a manner, that's New Testament, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Not so much the less, but so much the more. Amen? Not less, more. More. Amen. But he's talking about that Old Testament observing of the Sabbath and observing of the months, you know, when the time of different rituals would take place. Here they are. Listen, they're not Jews anymore. They're sons of God. They're not under Old Testament ritual anymore. Now are they made the sons of God. All things. Amen. They are at liberty. Now, again, not to break God's moral law, but the ritual law we have been... Listen, Christ fulfilled that for us. He is our lamb. He is our sacrifice. He is our high priest. He is our offering. Amen. He is our everything, our blood sacrifice. He's entered into the holiest by His own blood. Amen. Sat down, completed the work for you and I, that we could come boldly to the throne of grace. As the sons of God, we can come boldly. Because you're sons. You remember in the Old Testament it said there was a time when the sons of God came before the Lord and Satan also. See, now He may still try to appear there and bring accusations against many like He did Job. But you and I can go there too. Amen? And we can plead the blood of Christ, and we can plead for that hedge. Amen? and plead for all of God's holy angels available to bind the force of evil that would try to hinder us. Amen? We are the sons of God. Now we can approach. Amen. Where I could not before. I may have prayed, but I didn't know God. God didn't know me. But now, are you the sons of God? You can approach God. Why would you desire to be in bondage? Why would you observe Old Testament ritual? He said, I am afraid of you. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. This is the fear of every, I think, man of God, pastor, missionary pastor that brings people to the foot of the cross and they find God, or rather God finds them. And then they turn back. And he says, I'm afraid of you. Hey, you don't want to say those words. I'm afraid of you. I'm afraid of the way your life's heading. I'm afraid of the direction you're going in. I'm afraid of what you're doing, because it doesn't look like what God's sons are supposed to look like. You look like you're desiring to be in bondage again, going to the world again. And he said, brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Listen to the language that he speaks. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. Even with infirmity, Paul pushed through that they might hear the gospel of Christ. He talked about his temptation, which was in his flesh. He said, you despise not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. I mean, they received him as a minister, as one of the sons of God, as if God himself had sent his son there to speak to them. And they said, Paul, many people believe it was because of his eyes, that he had bad eyes. And the reason they believe that, because in verse 15, he makes this statement. Where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. As if to say, Paul, your eyes are bad. Here, take mine. If it would have been possible. So that's why many say that Paul's infirmity was in his eyes. But they didn't despise him. But look what he said. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Because you are sons, you shouldn't be offended and in truth. You should not be offended in truth. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Because you are sons, you have the word of God written in your heart. You should not be offended at the word. You should not be offended at the man of God. But he said in verse 17, they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. See, what he's saying right here in a nutshell, they were around people that were affecting them. And they said they would exclude you that you might affect them. In other words, they're not going to let you affect them. They're going to affect you. That's where a lot of sons of God get in bad trouble. They go to hanging around people that are involved in things that shouldn't be involved in. Worldly things, worldly occasions, worldly just things that are not of faith, certainly not of faith. certainly not edifying to the spiritual man. And it just draws more and more into the world. They zealously affect you. Now he said, it's good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. In other words, I mean, it's good if you got a great zeal for something that's really good, like the church. Amen. It'd be good if because you're sons, if you was as excited about God's house as you was something going on out here in the world. The old timers used to preach it like this. It'd be good if you was as excited about coming to God's house as you was a ball game. I remember hearing my granddaddy preach on it. He'd say, you'll hoop, holler, and shout out there and come to God's house and you're cold and quiet. It'd be good if you was zealously affected in the things of God in a better way than you was out there in the world. And I know some people in their mind say, preacher, well, if maybe it was more exciting like it was out there. Well, see, that's the difference. One thing's exciting your flesh. Another thing, it's what really edifies your soul. I'm talking about being stirred in your soul. Amen. And when you really get stirred in your soul, amen, when the Spirit of His Son begins to work in you and I, it'll do a work in us and give you something you cannot find, you cannot compare to anything in the world. And not only when I'm present with you, even in Paul's day, they had people that would straighten up a little bit when the preacher came around. But we're not there now. I mean, that's the way it used to be. But now people don't care that the preacher's around. They're going to do what they want to do anyway. They don't care that a godly saint, not just a preacher, but a godly saint, someone they know is living a certain way, they'll go ahead and do what they're doing, knowing that it's an offense. Why? Because they are desiring to be in bondage again. They're entangled again, as in chapter 5, verse 1. He challenged them to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. Christ hath made us free. Christ hath made us free. Ye are sons. You're free. Somebody ought to have jumped up and ran outside, amen? Because your sons, I said, you're free. Amen. You're not in bondage to do the things that you used to do. Amen. God has sent His Spirit in your heart, and now you're free. Free to worship God. Free to live for Him. Free. Free from the bondage of the world. Free from sin. Paul said, I'm afraid. I'll tell you what's going to have to happen. And I know this, just like it had to happen to Paul. He said in verse 19, my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. I'm going to have to travail again. What would that mean, that travailing again for the man of God, that under the load, under the birth load, as if you were given birth again? That heaviness of speech, sometimes very straight preaching, much praying, fasting, a heavy heart. I'm talking about getting under a load for people you worry about to the point where you can't even lay down at night and go to sleep. You're dreaming about them. You're dreaming, and in your dreams, you're dreaming about them either going away from God or coming back to God. It's just heavy upon you. Paul said, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." You know what that's pretty straight language. He said, "I want Christ to be in your life. I want to see Christ in you. Christ in you and on you. Your life given wholly to Christ." That when someone looks at your life, all they see is Christ in you. He said, "I'll have to travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." Much sowing of the seed. Amen. To bring forth that fruit again. Preaching down the flesh. Preaching against the sin. Preaching against the world. Preaching against bondage. Preaching of the hope of liberty and freedom. Amen. Preaching of your position in Christ. Amen. That you, because you're sons, you're seated in heavenly places in Christ. Why not take advantage of that? Amen. You're free. Because you're sons, you're at liberty. Amen. You can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. You can experience joy unspeakable and full of glory. The Bible says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." You can do that. You can yield yourself to Him, and the Spirit of His Son that's in you will form Christ in you. Why? Because of the nature that is inside, because of the new birth, is going to naturally make you like Him. That is your election and your predestination. God has predestined before the foundation of the world that you would be as He is, as His Son is. That didn't mean He picked you out and left others out. No, it just simply means from the foundation of the world, the plan of God was to take you from your fallen state and to make you like His Son. Amen. God knew from the beginning. Hey, are you listening to me? He gave the prophecy unto the woman that her seed would bruise the head of the serpent. Christ would come. Make you and I as He is. Amen. He would be our lamb. He would die. I mean, the picture's there. Oh my. Because you're sons. Verse 21, he said, "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Tell me, do you not hear?" I'm going to ask you another question. Do you not hear His voice saying, "Don't go that way"? If you're going these directions, tell me, do you not hear the wages of sin is death? He went through this whole allegory of law and grace. He talked about the Old Testament, you know, Abraham's bondwoman, Hagar, and his wife, Sarai, a bondwoman and a free woman. A child that was born of the bondwoman and a child that is born of the free woman. And he told them, said, cast out the bond woman and her son. That's you and I, said, cast out the old man. The son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. That's why this body's going to be changed. Amen. And that's when he said in chapter 5, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. A new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Made free. Made free. Faith that works by love. Like an engine that runs on diesel. Faith that works by love. Your faith, it works depending on how much you love Him. The life you live by faith, just how much you love Him. Whether you'll live it. Faith works by love. Amen. If you love Him, I want you to stand.